raise a couple more to the revolution.
We have only three words for you.
Uh-oh.
We're taking over!
The world, we're alive.
Why not raise a little hay?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the QZero Theater Cast. This is your host, Artistic Director Dan Pelletier, here broadcasting during what possibly could be the defining month of a generation. Here we are currently in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Businesses are closed, hospitals are full up. It's wild and crazy times out there. I'm sure I don't have to remind you and tell everybody all these things. I'm sure you guys all already know what's going on. It's currently the last week of March. Today they just announced that schools will be closed until the first Monday of May. So you can imagine it's a difficult time, you know, not just for everyone, but especially those in small businesses and the arts. So I just wanted to, take a moment and give a shout out to everybody that's struggling. Know that we're all in this together and we're going to come through stronger. And for those of you that might have, a little extra, if you're, you're not as affected as the others, please do everything you can to support the small businesses and help your arts organizations that have had to cancel or hopefully just postpone their productions and their projects. I'm going to put a caveat on that is, right now, QZero has not had to cancel a thing. We are currently setting up our rehearsals for Hamlet, which for the entire month of April will be online. We're going to be doing them a lot during Skype. We're going to be creating blocking videos and all other fun tools. It's going to be a great learning experience that I'm looking forward to. But QZero is not hurting. QZero is not going to lose any money as of, knock on wood, as of right now. If we do have to cancel Hamlet, we don't have, a ton of money invested in it at this moment right now. So hopefully we'll know by the end of April, which would be around the time when we would start seeing a lot of the expenses piling up if we're going to cancel or postpone the show. So QZero does not need your money right now. So please find an arts organization that you strongly believe in, that you appreciate their work, preferably one that, has an emphasis on local talent and New Hampshire artists, and, buy a gift card or make a donation, whatever you can. Or if you don't have money, just promote small businesses. If you can take a different small business or artist on your social media every day, just tell your friends and family, like, hey, I want to tell you about this great, person, place, or organization that I believe in. And they'd just be so appreciative, just because it's going to be, it looks like things are going to get a little worse before they get better, but I promise everybody they're going to get better. We're going to get back to things, and hopefully our Hamlet will give everybody something to look forward to. I'm hoping, by the time we reach June, things are returning to some state of normalcy, and that we'll be able to have a great production that will, entertain the masses. I promise you, I also promise you that we picked a post-apocalyptic tragedy long before all this happened. So please don't think we're trying to capitalize on this. It became accidentally timely. And luckily we didn't go with a pandemic apocalyptic event. So, if it was something a little closer to the reality, we'd, adjust. So unless the rapture happens between now and June, I shouldn't have to adjust. But if that does happen and this is a sign of the end times, it would be inappropriate for us to put on this production of Hamlet, and we will change our concept. So holding out that Jesus doesn't come back quite yet, because I, feel great about this Hamlet, and I want everybody to be able to see it. Been, thinking and stressing and trying to come up with some more podcast topics that we can be doing during these times, and, I realized I'm going to be having a lot of downtime soon. My day job is cut me back to working from home with very reduced hours. So I got a lot of free time on my hands. And I also won't have as many, you know, like in rehearsal hours and stuff like that. So, you know, I have a giant collection of theatrical books that I've, you know, that I love or I've been meaning to read. So I thought, why not start doing some quick little book reviews of different theatrical texts that I've read, hopefully mostly ones that I'll enjoy and be able to highly recommend. You know, I do think that one of the important things of being an artist is you always want to be improving on your craft, and we can't always, you know, get out to a workshop or take time after a production to truly evaluate what went well and get feedback from somebody who, with a correct viewpoint or, you know, knowledge, can give you feedback on your work. So I do find, you know, having a good collection of different theatrical texts is an excellent way to improve your craft. And so I'd like to start today with the book that I was actually reading before this that kind of inspired this being my topic. And it's a book that I saw a long time ago, or maybe, you know, 6-8 months ago online, and I pre-ordered it and it just came out. I've been really excited to get it. It is a book on a topic that I think affects everybody that works in the theater. And that is theatrical intimacy, which we'll, you know, define that and talk about it. And I specifically bought it for our upcoming production of Heathers, where, you know, I'll be having to stage some scenes that involve actors in various stages of undressing and performing together in intimate and sexual moments on stage. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, as a director, I was fully comfortable with that, and I was creating an environment that would, you know, make my actors fully comfortable, because we all, you know, everybody, I'm sure, knows that, you know, these things aren't always easy to be vulnerable and can be create uncomfortable spaces that, you know, open up a lot of different things that, you know, we don't want to talk about. And I have found, you know, I'm not going to name names or tell specific stories or call anyone out, but I'm sure everybody listening to this can think of a moment in a rehearsal where yourself or you observed an actor or a director, or just anybody in a theatrical setting that was placed into a position where they weren't comfortable with things they were asking to be done, and the verbiage being used did not create an environment that was conducive to good work. And, you know, they might have been just told to, you know, get it over with or suck it up, or, you know, or the director might not have been very, you know, you get to the moment where you do the thing and not really come out and say it because they're uncomfortable. So, you know, we need, there was a strong need to help everybody. And this book that I've read, I believe, is a huge step in the right direction and will lay the foundation for, you know, solving a lot of these issues. It's entitled Staging Sex: Best Practices, Tools, and Techniques for Theatrical Intimacy. The author's name is Chelsea Pace, with contributions from Laura Ricard. I pre-ordered it through Amazon. I'm sure it's available through all of your major book retailers or directly from the author. It's published by a Focal Press book, Rutledge Publishing. So let's, you know, talk a little bit about the book. So the dedication of the book comes right out and says it. It says, to students and their teachers, go make it less weird. And I really appreciated that, because I think that's definitely, you know, one of the number one places where you can find awkwardness is in an educational theatrical setting, whether that be, you know, youth, teen, collegiate, or other. I'm going to kind of, you know, give you some quick thoughts on the book. You know, I definitely want you to read it. I don't want to go into too many details, but I'll give you, like, what really stuck with me and what I really liked about the book, a couple of critiques I might have, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. So, you know, you might be asking yourself, if you don't know, like, what exactly is theatrical intimacy? Does that just mean you know, graphic sexual content. No, there, you know, theatrical intimacy could be a handshake or a hug. It can be a simple kiss. Really, anything where you're creating the, you know, physical contact that requires vulnerability can be defined as, you know, an element of theatrical intimacy. I mean, we all have, you know, things that we're comfortable doing and things we're uncomfortable doing. And a lot of times in a rehearsal process, you know, actors, directors, designers might not always feel comfortable being able to speak up about these things. So this book works to create, you know, again, a better working environment, you know, and it just doesn't cover pleasant subjects. You know, the book specifically addresses intimacy, nudity, sexual violence, and everything in between or possibly related to that spectrum. The book starts off by talking a lot about the, you know, different techniques and whether, you know, things with good intentions that different directors or choreographers or actors might have tried in the past, and examines why those things, you know, might not be the best approach or what that can create, even if it's, you know, unintentional. You know, there's just a lot of things people have done or still do and probably still will do in the future that are not, you know, healthy mentally, emotionally, or sometimes physically for people to be practicing. But I appreciate that the book, it doesn't come out straight, come out up and shame good intention, bad practices. You know, it tells you why you shouldn't do them. And it definitely, if there are certain things that are, you know, should be big no-no red flags, it comes out and says those. But it also doesn't, you know, go out of its way. It makes you feel okay that you've made mistakes, and it admits that we all make mistakes, and it understands that there's going to be a stumbling and a learning process. So I really appreciated that in the text. One of the big things that it talks about throughout the entire book is just, you know, boundaries, both physically and emotional boundaries, you know, that we have as performers or as people that we need to, you know, make sure that the boundaries are being respected first and foremost. It wants to create a culture of consent in the rehearsal space. So the book starts off with what it calls boundary training, where it teaches you a lot of different techniques that you want to use with your actors and give to them so that they know, you know, what's okay and what's not okay, and that they're, you know, it's perfectly fine to say something isn't okay, and you know, it's good to, you know, actually to say it's not okay, and to have boundaries and to let them know that these things are going to be respected. And, you know, just it's got a number of different techniques, but the two that I found the most insightful and useful were open questions and the concept of button. You know, when you ask a direct, like, yes or no question, there's kind of connotations or an implied, like, you should say yes. And in acting, you know, especially anyone that's had improv training, or, you know, you're, as an actor, you're often told to say yes, yes, and build off the truth of the moment, you know, dive in, follow your impulses, deny nothing, which works for most of your acting things, but doesn't always work for, you know, when you're working on these moments that might make you uncomfortable. So we have to be able to create a system that allows for you to say no, or at least, you know, ask for a pause. So by making questions more open-ended, you know, by being like, how would you feel if we, you know, if this is what we did, or is it okay, is better than like, I'm going to touch you, or this is what's going to happen. Got it? Can I do that? You know, by being more open, like, how would you feel? What would your reaction be? It doesn't lead the person to feel like they have to say yes, which then builds into the concept of the button, as in pause button. You know, so you give this tool to your actors and you introduce it in various ways. But basically, it allows them that at any point they're allowed to, you know, either say button or you can establish a different word of button, because it recommends that, you know, you don't use a word that either has other meaning or will come up a lot in the text. So say you're doing a play about sewing or something, and button's going to be said a lot. So you might need to pick a new button, like Kalamazoo. But anyways, when somebody says the button, it's a pause. You're allowed to call button to, you know, say you need a minute or ask a question, get clarification on something, you know, or to, you know, talk about that you're going to use a placeholder in the rehearsal. That's another thing it talks about, that, like, you know, say, you know, you have a scene that requires actors to kiss and they're not ready for that. Or like when actor's sick, you can have a placeholder of, you know, you're still doing the scene, but your placeholder is going to be a moment of like a high five. And you're going to do that high five with all of the intention and acting behind it that you would the kiss. But today you're using that placeholder. And I just think that, again, you know, gives those the actors tools to know that their boundaries will be respected, that they get to be comfortable, that, you know, they're in control and there isn't this power dynamic where, you know, intentional or not, that they feel like they have to be subservient to the director. You know, we want everybody to be comfortable no matter what directing style somebody has. There is always a leadership dynamic that needs to be avoided, that and the book talks about that. So, you know, those are just some of the different things that I really, you know, appreciated about it. And I have already been implementing into some rehearsal processes. And the book really focuses on creating a desexualized common language to explain everything you're doing. It talks about the importance of choreographing all these different moments, that, you know, you can't just say, oh, it's just a kiss. You know, there's still so many factors there. So it gives you these tools and this language to choreograph every moment of these things, just as you would a dance. It actually, you know, talks about like having specific counts, like lean in or close the distance is one of the terms it uses. Your lips touch, there's, you know, a three count, and then you break away. That's the kiss. You know, it gives you this language that I find incredibly insightful and helpful, that, again, removes a lot of stigmas and, you know, sexualization to things. So by, you know, choreographing moments, or even it gives you tools to be like, okay, say you want to, you're a director that likes to figure things out in the moment. It still gives you the language to use and how to coach the actors. And then you go back and document what was done and figure out what worked and what didn't work. But again, working within the actor's boundaries and things like that. It has these 10 ingredients, it calls them, of, you know, creating the choreography. And then it refers to the, you know, a choreographed plan as the recipe. So you take all your ingredients, you, you know, make your recipe, and then, you know, apply it, tweak it, document it, get everything all situated. So it's incredibly helpful and insightful. Again, as I said, you know, it's already helped me, you know, plan for some different things. And one of the other things that I didn't even think, or, you know, something that I'm glad it touched upon, is it touched on things not just in the rehearsal space, but in the theatrical culture and industry overall, like, you know, working with your designers and your costume, you know, and costume fittings and publicity and how actors should be able to go about reporting concerns, dealing, you know, creating language that they should and shouldn't be using in and outside of rehearsal, you know, like what to do when somebody maybe crosses a boundary. It has like a step-by-step guide on proper, you know, how to talk to the actor about it, how to, or even, you know, maybe it's not an actor, just the person about it, how they should go about apologizing and how we work going forward. Things like that. You know, one of the things I really liked that, it talked about, even, you know, going into like a costume fitting that's going to have a lot of different people working on things, is making sure that all of your people in the costume shop understand boundaries and consent and things like that. And just, you know, working to language, creating the language that will create this environment. Language is an incredibly powerful tool. It's something that I find fascinating. And, an example I always use, or two examples I always use, is one, you know, they talk about, like in German, there's Schadenfreude, which is happiness at the misfortune of others. And, you know, people joke that, oh, that's an incredibly German concept. But it, you know, becomes easier to understand a concept when you just have one word for this longer concept. And in one of my favorite books, A Director Prepares by Anne Bogart, which maybe we'll do for one of these podcasts. You know, like Anne talks about when she was studying kabuki in Japan, and she was having this real difficult time understanding this concept that all of the other students got easily because they were all, you know, born Japanese speakers and incredibly fluent in language. And this concept just was like, you know, like a two-word phrase in Japanese. But it took like two paragraphs of text to explain the concept to her. And just the fact that, like, you know, like their brain processes things different. And, you know, like they talk about, you know, I've seen things that say, like, you can see colors differently when you have a more varied vocabulary for colors. You know, like if you don't have a word for blue, you don't see blues as strong, and things like that. So language is an incredibly powerful tool for both, you know, good and evil. You know, you can look at, you know, Orwell's 1984, where, you know, you can kind of see how you can use language and things like that. But let's use that for good and create good, strong working environments.
Hello, Q0 fans. Q0 business advisor and performer Jake Ranlett here, interrupting your regularly scheduled podcast to talk about Q0 sponsorship and membership. As I'm sure you know, theater is really expensive, and we cannot survive on ticket sales alone, which is why we have these two awesome programs that not only allow Q0 to continue to revolutionize the performing arts scene in New Hampshire, but has incredible benefits for you as well. Sponsors get their name and logo in our playbill, on our posters, mentioned in our podcasts, listed on our press releases, and so much more. We go out of our way to make sure everyone knows about you and thanks you for helping make Q0 possible. We also have our membership program for individuals who want a little bit more bang for their buck and a lot more Q0 in their lives. We have 10 different levels of membership, starting as low as $2 a month. Every level of membership comes with awesome perks, such as early access to the Q0 Theater Cast, discounts on tickets and merchandise, exclusive behind-the-scenes video content, the ability to read our new works blog, and so much more. The more you give, the more you get. If you want to be a vital part of the Q0 revolution, head on over to cztheater.com and click the Support CZT link to become a sponsor or a member today. And now, back to the podcast.
Make people want to come to rehearsal, feel comfortable with working with these really vulnerable moments, and that nobody needs to leave rehearsal feeling like, you know, somebody's a scumbag or, you know, they're traumatized by what happened. You know, and it also talks about, you know, how to approach things with your audience and if you want to have talkbacks about things. So it's, you know, it's really good about that. I've got very minimal critiques, and a few of them are, like, me-specific. My number one, number two thing that kind of go together. Again, I work in an educational setting, and this is, you know, a lot of these tools, again, are things that I would love to be able to bring to a rehearsal. But in certain settings, when you pull out a book entitled Staging Sex, some people are going to turn their heads a little, you know, funny at you and might be like, what are you reading in front of, you know, these people? You know, it's in big bold letters, so I wish I get the, you know, wanting to have that title that really grabs you, but I think, you know, maybe there could have been theatrical intimacy or, you know, something, or maybe I'll just have to make a slip cover for it, because also, you know, on the cover there's a, it's not necessarily a graph, it's not, you know, 100% not a graphic image, but there's a, you know, the picture on the cover of the book is two people sharing a private moment. They're wrapped in a curtain in a way that it looks like a bed sheet, and to some people that, you know, again, could raise some red flags. So it is a hard book to pull out in certain situations. I think definitely going forward, I'll have to like prepare some notes and bring those notes into a rehearsal rather than the book itself. And then the only other thing is this really is a topic that you need, you're going to want some hands-on experience with. And I mean, I'm going to say this with a lot of technique-based books, but, you know, a book is not a substitute for a good workshop led by somebody that really knows what they're talking about. So, you know, this would be a great tool to be used in conjunction with a workshop setting, where you're, you know, if you can work with somebody that's like a little bit more experienced. But if you're like me and you don't have the time or the money or the resources, it is a great tool. Definitely something you're going to have probably a period of trial and error when you're initiating, initially using it, which is fine. But, you know, you maybe you want to find some actors or some, you know, fellow theater people that you guys can all read it and work on it together before you use it with performers that you're maybe not as familiar with, just because, again, there's going to be some bumps in the road. No one's going to get it perfectly right the first time. But it's, you know, again, it creates a real warm environment. It doesn't create an environment that you shame people for bad, you know, bad, outdated behaviors. But, you know, again, I'm going to give this book like the highest recommendations for anybody, directors, actors, choreographers, designers, general theater people. Again, this is a super important topic, especially, again, you know, I'm going to be, you know, whether you're staging Dead Girl Walking in Heathers or you're staging a simple kiss in Romeo and Juliet, or you're directing, you know, the end of Streetcar Named Desire, everything like that, you want to approach from a place that isn't going to make anyone uncomfortable. You know, one of the things it talks about, and one thing that a pedestal that I will stand and shout on, is never again should an actor hear from a director, you know, just kiss, do it already, get over it. These things need to be a thing of the past, and we really need to work to make sure everybody is always comfortable, their boundaries respected as people, as artists, and that we continue to move forward. Again, I'm sure over the next few years, again, this is like the first edition. It's kind of a newer field. There are people who are specifically intimacy choreographers that are brought in to productions to lend their expertise. There's a number of different organizations and things like that. So I'm sure over the next few years it'll be revised and updated. And I look forward to seeing where this goes. It's, you know, incredibly helpful. If you'd like more information, they do have their consulting group and educational organization, which is called TIE, or Theatrical Intimacy Education. Their website is theatricalintimacyed.com. You know, check that out for more info. Get a copy of the book. I think every director, choreographer, theater practitioner should have this one on their shelf. Give it a read and take it to heart. Again, I never want to have an actor traumatized by working with myself or working with anybody else. So this is our first book review. I hope you enjoyed. I'd love to hear if anybody else has picked it up and what your thoughts are on it. If you have any recommendations for theatrical books I should be looking at or reading, you know, I think I'm going to, with the next one, maybe read an old favorite, like a book on Meisner or Stanislavski or directing that I've picked up before. We'll bring that back. Just want to remind everybody that Hamlet, knock on wood, will be opening June 5th at the Derry Opera House. It's a 2-week run. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be posting a ton of content over the next few weeks as we begin to put it together and figure out exactly how you rehearse a show via Skype for a month. Luckily, we're already going to do a lot of table work, so that'll be fine. But it's going to be a real interesting thing. I'm hoping I can document the process and create a lot of fun tools that maybe other people can have, or just some great behind-the-scenes goodies for all of our Patreon members. Again, please do everything you can to support your local businesses and fellow artists that are going through these hard times, that maybe they have to cancel their show or close for a month. We need to get through this. Keep your social distance, or I guess we're now calling it physical distance, 6 feet apart. Don't go outside if you don't need to. Cover your cough. And one huge shout out to all of the people in the medical field, the first responders, doctors, nurses, just people working around the clock to take care of everybody. We will never be able to repay you for what you do. So from the bottom of our hearts here at Q0, thank you so much for everything you do. I know, this afternoon when my mother was heading to work, she was like, Starbucks was giving away free coffee. And I just feel like to nurses, my mother's a nurse. I'm like, every place right now should be giving as much free stuff to our doctors, our nurses, our first responders, our people that are putting themselves in harm's way to make sure that, this pandemic is solved as quickly as possible and as painlessly as possible. So on that happy note, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. This is Artistic Director Dan Pelletier. And as we always say on the Q0 Theater Cast, support local theater and join the revolution.